Getting pretty tired, putting out the fires. Everybody asking me, do you got a plan yet? Do you got a man yet? When you gonna get married? Something borrowed, something blue. Yeah, I say I do. And I sign the papers to a house that I can call my own. I'll get a man's best friend waiting for me at home. I ain't in a hurry just because I'm 30 to saddle up and settle down. It's gonna be a house and a dog for now.
You just heard a snippet of the latest single, House and a Dog, by country artist, singer-songwriter Brittany Cannell. After studying her craft at Berklee College of Music in Boston, Brittany Cannell has worked hard for nearly a decade as a singer-songwriter in Nashville. She is keeping it true to her vintage rock roots while still pushing the envelope in commercial country with this new single. She has written with some of the very best in Nashville, including Marin Morris, Tennille Towns, Carly Pierce, just to name a few. And she has played on some of the best stages on both sides of the border with her performances at the Grand Old Opry, Boots and Hearts, Calgary Stampede, and now this year she is going to be performing at the Cavendish Beach Music Festival. Here to talk about her single and her upcoming shows is country singer-songwriter Brittany Cannell. Hi, Brittany. How are you?
Hi, Kim. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am so happy to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I am such a big fan. We have so much to cover because I want to play three songs, if that's okay with you today, if that's all right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I want to get the international fans that may not know you, just to give them a little bit of your background, if we can start there, because I know you from The Voice. That's when I first saw you.
Yes.
And yeah, that was 2016, right?
Yeah, it was. Sometimes it feels like yesterday, and sometimes I forget that it even happened. But in 2016, I was on Team Blake and did that whole experience, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. That was such an eye opener for me because you were the very first Canadian to ever go on that stage and to be a contestant. What was that like for you to go through? I know a lot of the reality shows, like we've got some new ones that have come up now too, but that one and American Idol too has always stood out as being such a great launch pad when it comes to being able to at least get yourself in the door, because this isn't an easy industry. But also on the other flip side of that too, it also can be difficult to be able to start a career up after that.
It is. And I think I knew that kind of going into it. Like, I knew that this was an opportunity to have a platform. But I also knew that, you know, if I wasn't careful, if I didn't kind of keep my focus, that it could also kind of break my heart. And I didn't want that to happen. I really wanted to just use it, as an opportunity. And I knew that I kind of had it in my head that I'll do my best, but to not have expectations, because I didn't want to go in and give everything. And then, you know, knowing how those shows can be and how you can leave that show feeling that way, I wanted to know that I would leave with, I guess, a positive experience, and to take, you know, to be able to take my career to the next level with that. So it was definitely a fine line to kind of prepare myself for mentally and emotionally. But I feel like because I did that, I just was able to really enjoy the experience and then, you know, make the most of the opportunity post the show.
I've had a lot of artists, you know, come on the show, like Jay Coote, and he was one of the winners. And I've had Ricky Durr, and he was also a runner-up. I've had quite a few of the artists that have come on, and they all, you know, say so much wonderful things about their experience on the show. But at the same time, you know, like, they're just saying that they give you as much as they can, and then, you know, it just helps you, because, like, when you started this whole journey, your background in your musical journey, you know, was going to Boston in 2008 and studying songwriting, because that was your first love. You hadn't really looked at yourself as a songwriter, right?
Yeah, exactly. As an artist. Yeah, that's it. I always knew, like, from when I was really young, at age 7, I started writing songs, and I knew that that's what I loved the most when it came to music. There's so many different facets, but I knew that songwriting was my one true love. And so I went to Berkeley to study songwriting, and it wasn't until The Voice that I was like, okay, I think I have a chance at doing the artist thing. And that really kind of gave me the confidence to also test that route out, you know? Me too. I'm so glad too. And I didn't know what it was going to bring. Like, as I was kind of going through each round and getting closer to that stage and getting closer to being on an episode, you know, I just tried to set my expectations. I tried to see it as like, this is a stepping stone. It's an opportunity. Just do your best. And mm-hmm. I think just because I had that attitude, I was really able to enjoy the experience, but also realize that maybe there is an opportunity for me to be an artist as well.
It's a lot to take in at first, because like you said, songwriting was what your love was when it comes to your journey in music. But to learn the whole, you have to have the full branding, the stage presence, and you have to be able to work a stage. You got to be able to connect with the fans. And it really helps to develop the voice. Like, they really help you on that level. But man, when I heard you sing, girl, you already had it.
you
did. You have something special. You have something so special.
Thank you.
I think fans saw that immediately. And I know that back in Montreal and Quebec, they already knew how talented you were. But man, I'm telling you, it has just been such a pleasure to be able to watch what your journey's been. But I also have such mad respect when it comes to how you approached this whole journey for you. You really took the time to get to know who you were. You've stayed true to your roots. You speak from the heart. You are such a gentle soul. And I think that's why I connect with you.
Oh, I really appreciate you noticing that and supporting that and connecting with that too. And I mean, I think, it's such a tough industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but at the same time, like, through every kind of chapter that I've been through school, through Nashville, through The Voice, like, I've always just tried to make sure I stay true to myself. And if I'm not, to make sure I get back to that as much as possible. And I think that's why I've just kind of been able to stay in it so long, and is because I've kind of kept that head on my shoulders and just that message, I guess, in my heart, making sure I stay true to myself.
I think too, you know, this journey, you have to know who you are to start with. And I think, you know, going to Berkeley probably, I would think, really set the stage for you to be able to know what you're capable of as a songwriter. And I think that is just such a great craft to have, because if you're speaking from your heart, you're always going to connect with somebody out there, because you're writing out of your own experience. You're writing about your own feelings and emotions, and it'll always work.
Yeah, and I think that, like, I mean, that school definitely opened up my eyes to the possibilities of what, you know, the songwriting held for me, because up until that point, I didn't really know, like, I just loved doing it. It was never something that anybody told me, you know, oh, to be in the music industry, you have to write songs. I never knew anything about the industry. I just loved to write songs. So I always followed that. And that's what led me to Berkeley, and Berkeley kind of opened my eyes to, like, wow, I can actually maybe do this as a career. And a lot of that kind of came together once I went to Nashville. We did like a Nashville trip with the school, and that's when I was like, oh, wait a second, I think I could really do this, and I can write full time and write for people and write to connect. And I feel like, I don't know, I guess I always knew that that was the purpose of songwriting to begin with, like, that to, you're writing songs to share stories, to share experiences, to connect with others.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I knew that pretty early on, and that matched with my love for it. kind of just created the perfect storm to pursue it and try to make something of it.
You moved to Nashville really young.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like that's like jumping into the fire pan, like, you know, that because Nashville is, it's a machine, you know, when it comes to getting in there, and you're, it's all music industry. So you're writing and you're writing and you're writing and you're writing, and it's completely different than I'm sure what it's been for you here in Canada.
Yeah.
It's just a fast paced thing, right?
It is. And I will say, like, you know, I spent 7 years there, and like you said, I went really young, and I'm surprised. I look back now, I'm like, I don't know how I did that. And like, I'm surprised my parents also let me do that. Like, just to be on my own at 21 down in Nashville. And but at the same time, like, there's so much inspiration in that city. Mm-hmm. And now, like, I love that I kind of have my life up here, and I dip down to Nashville, you know, every couple of months and get my fix and get my inspiration. And I come back and I get to share that with my community here too. There's a lot of artists that are up and coming or that have been at it for a while. You know, Nashville always comes up as country artists, and you know, I love that I get to kind of share those experiences with them and inspire them to also go down and you know, just get some motivations and inspiration. And yeah, it's a tough city. It's a factory, and it's, you know, there's so many things going on there, and you know, you want to be a part of it all. And I did my best as much as possible to be everywhere and write with as many people and connect with as many people. But at the same time, I also, at that age, I was on my own. So I also had to work, you know, just regular jobs just to be able to put food on the table and pay my mm-hmm. bills. And so it was a good 7 years of like, of a hustle, of hustling and hard work. And, you know, I'm forever grateful for that chapter and that I did that at that age and that I was able to kind of go down there and experience what I experienced. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, you know, sometimes I look back now and I say, oh, I wonder if I would have went down there and I didn't work and if I just focused on songwriting. But that wasn't in the cards for me, and that mm-hmm. that wasn't my journey. You know, so
it makes you hustle, right? It really makes you hustle. And I think that when you're at a younger age too, you might not have the fears that you would develop. Right. I think we kind of develop those as we get older for some reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have more experience. But I think as when we're younger, we just have no concerns. We're just going after 100%. What we want. And that's probably, you know, a really good thing that you went at that time.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I'm surprised that I did that. I know I came home from Berkeley for about 2 months during the summer, and I just told my parents, I was like, I'm going down. I think it was like August 26th. I was like, I'm leaving August 26th. And they're like, okay. Like, they didn't believe me. And then it kept getting closer and closer. And I was like, well, I've signed a lease. I've got a place to rent. And, you know,
wow.
Then they were kind of like, okay, this is happening. And they drove me down. And on the way down, they just said, this is great that you're doing this, but, you know, we need to cut you off and you're on your own. And you need to become an adult and figure it out.
Well, yeah, you know, so what? And I appreciate that too, because I think it just really, instills that, you know, that base that you need when you're growing up to be able to be 100%. Responsible, right?
100%. Yeah, and I'm forever grateful for that. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that really, like, made me grow up and made me, you know, just really, I learned a lot. Like, I learned how to just stay focused. I learned how to, you know, balance my schedule. And you know, it kind of just made it that much sweeter when I would get to write, and I would go from like a work schedule to, you know, jump into a writing session or then to a show. And it just made me work hard, and it made me appreciate when I was doing music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also the community there too, like country music, it doesn't matter whether or not it's, you know, when it comes to the producers or whether or not it's songwriters, whatever that base is. On both sides of the border, country music, the community of country music is just so welcoming. And that's the one thing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I worked at a country club right away from the get-go as a waitress, and, you know, everybody that took me in is family. And from there, you know, it was always introductions. Oh, okay, let me introduce you to this person. Oh, you want to write? Okay, I'll introduce you to this. And it was like that the whole time I was there.
Nice.
Nashville, the community was so it just collaborative and supportive of each other. And I really loved that.
The networking.
I was really grateful.
Yeah, the networking is so important, because even today, like going to any of the award shows and things like that, the people that are standing beside you that are as new as you are, you know, are going to be turning around, right. You know, you never know, like 2 years down the line, they might be really into writing, or somebody might be into producing. And those are the people that are going to be up on that stadium, you know,
100%
getting their awards
later. So many of those artists that I, you know, knew back in the day or wrote with back in the day, and just to see where their careers are now, like, I mean, it's fascinating and it's inspiring, and it's, mm-hmm. I mean, part of the game or the nature of this industry also is just consistency and staying with it and working hard and being a good person, and eventually something hits, you know. It's, you never know when or what it's going to be, but I definitely believe, and I've seen it with my own eyes, people that have just stuck it out, worked hard, and they were good people. And Nashville definitely taught me that. It's like, just, you know, hang in there.
Well, when I look at your career and I look at what you've accomplished, and to me, you're just getting started, to me, because when I think about you and what you're capable of and what you've released already is incredible. But I know what you've got coming with your sophomore album that's coming up for Pink Collar. But when I just get so excited when I think about what you've got coming and what's ahead of you, because you're just so talented. And to me, it blows my mind that you didn't think of yourself as a singer. It just blows my mind.
I have a bit of a shy nature sometimes. And I think growing up, like I wasn't a prodigy singer. I never felt like, I don't know, I would see other singers, I'm like, wow, they can sing. Like, I never felt that about myself. Mm. And it took me a long time to feel that confidence and feel okay with my singing and my singing voice. And I worked hard at it, taking lessons and just always practicing. And I really had to build that up, but it wasn't natural for me. And so I think that's why I was totally content just being a songwriter for other artists. And but then I kind of also learned, alongside the voice, you know, for these songs to be heard, I kind of needed to sing them. So that was, you know, I dabbled with it a little bit beforehand, but the voice was really what kind of kickstarted the taking the artist's career by the reins.
Well, it takes that trajectory and just sky launches it for you, and it just kind of throws you right into it. And I think sometimes you need to do that in order to get past the jitters and the fears of, you know, getting in your own head, you know, when it,
absolutely,
when it comes to what you think you can do and what you can't do. And then when you start working with producers down the line, they already know what you can do. I can hear it. You haven't even started to show us what you can do with your voice.
Tell people how you can sing. I'm like, I will. I'm just going to write those songs. But
well,
thank you for saying that. I'm excited too for what's to come. I feel like I'm just really starting to bloom and get comfortable and confident with who I am.
I think that's what I mean. Like, you've been doing this a long time and honing your craft and everything, but I think we are just starting, you know, to see what you're capable of. And it's just bright stars for you. And they're just going to keep on rising as a songwriter, though, and an artist.
Appreciate that.
And you've written with some pretty special songwriters. Tennille Towns, I had her on the show. We were talking about that. And, you know, Marin Morris, you've also written with her. Carly Pierce, you've written with so many people. And
yeah, I've written definitely. So the last two, Marin and Carly, I've not written with them, but I've played a lot of shows with them in Nashville, do writing rounds. Carly, I did a lot of write arounds with her. And Marin, I did a couple of just like shows in Nashville, like tribute shows. But Tennille, I've written with, and I've gotten, and a Haley Witters I've written with, and I've written with some really, again, like kind of jumping back to watching people grow. Like Tennille and Haley are some of those women that I was with in the room and or watched them perform, and you know, we were having conversations with like, oh man, like, you know, hey, how do we do this or how do we do that or how do we get here and there, and next thing you know, like looking for example at Haley Witters, her career, like she's done so well, and Tennille as well, and so it's really cool, and I'm very grateful for those experiences writing with those women and with other artists and writers that I got to write with in Nashville. And I definitely want to keep both wheels working. It's a tough conversation because there's always that, well, are you an artist or a writer? And I'm just going to hang on to both as long as I can.
Well, you kind of remind me, like, the same personality as Tennille. You're both such beautiful souls and very gentle. Aww. And I think, you know, like, when you start surrounding yourself with people that you're comfortable with, and when you know that you can get in a room and you got a project to do and you need to produce, like, you're surrounding yourself with some pretty cool people. And I think that really shows. And tell us about working with Denik, because, oh man, he is just crazy good as a writer and producer. Yes. And everybody I talk to is working with him, which is so cool.
Denik, yeah, he's amazing. And I'm so grateful that I've gotten to work with him. And, you know, the cool thing about him is he's from Quebec, and mm-hmm. he's kind of created this, like, you know, really great. He's blazed a trail for a lot of Quebec artists, and he's really opened that door for us in Nashville as well. And so just getting to work with him and knowing who he's worked with in Quebec and Canada, like, I'm just grateful to be in that roster with him, and working with him too. Like, he challenges me as an artist, which I think is so important. Like, I really appreciate when I have, I don't want to say criticism, but like just challenges and conversations of, you know, what I could be doing in this industry, or where can I push myself to. And he really definitely gives me those conversations and that confidence to, you know, to trudge forward and mm-hmm. to try new things. And and he's just really smart with a lot of that. So I'm very grateful to kind of have his guidance through
well,
that.
Well, he's got so much experience, you know,
yeah,
doing this, you know, himself. And, you know, he's just really lent a hand to so many of the artists. And he would also know, you know, when it comes to, you know, working with album cuts and working, you know, at the stage that you're at right now, you know, with this second album coming out, like, he knows exactly how to play that. He knows how to work with that.
Yeah.
And working in the industry today and where music's at. And yeah, what a great, great person to have on your side. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I find too, he's great at, like, he still lets me be me, which mm-hmm. I think is super important too. And like, for me, working with a producer that just, like, does the song and, you know,
moves
that's
on
it.
To
like
the
they
next.
Just recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, move on to the next. Like, that's not how I work. And I find Denik is great. And you respects my journey as well. I think that's mm-hmm. so important. He respects who I am as a person. He's not trying to change me, but he does try to challenge me. And I think that's important too, to have somebody that's like, that pushes you a little bit more out of your comfort zone here and there.
I think too, he also knows how important it is to be able to keep this kind of style and the artist that you want to be, and then help develop that further, you know, in doing something different with it, or, you know, just making it even better. But because you've really held true, and that's what I respect. You knew who you wanted to be in a lot of ways, built off of your influences and, you know, kind of music that you gravitated to. Tell us a little bit about that and how you saw yourself coming up in this business after you started getting a little bit of success.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question, and it's easy to kind of and like see a trend, or, oh, I'm going to do that, or I'm going to try this. And, you know, it's so tough to like carve your own lane and stick to it. And I will say, like, I've carved lanes and I've strayed from them and I've come back to them, and I've definitely been all over the map and trying to find myself. But I think that was you know, all the while knowing who I am, but still trying to explore as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I always come back to the same me and the same person. And, you know, I've explored writing and pop music and putting out pop music, and but when it comes to writing songs, like, that is my North Star. Like, I mm-hmm. always make sure that I'm writing, and it is my experience, and it's comes from the heart. It's something that I relate to that I know other people will relate to. Like for me, as long as like I hang on to that, then I'm staying true to who I am. Mm-hmm. The second I start singing songs and saying words that I would never say, or, you know, wearing outfits that I would never wear in my day-to-day life, like to me, that is when you start to lose yourself. And I've, like I said, I've my tail end of Nashville, I was starting to lose who I was, forgetting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, and it happens. I think it's easy to do in this
easy.
Industry because, you know, people say, well, we don't want that. We want this, or we need this, not that. And mm-hmm. you start to like, okay, well, maybe I need to do that. Maybe that's what will be my, you know, my ticket. But ultimately I came back home and I spent time with my family and I just went back to who I was and who that girl was that left for Nashville in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was writing the songs and writing my story and my truth and always holding on to that and making that the priority.
I think that's a big part of your writing too, is empowering yourself, believing in yourself.
Yeah.
And keeping yourself grounded and not letting your surroundings and what everybody else is doing, you know, try to dictate what you have to do. Like you stay true to yourself 100%. And brought yourself back. Yeah, that's so cool. What a great story. That's a great story.
Thank you. And I think sonically too, like I've always just stayed true to like, what do I love? Like what sparks joy for me? What, when I hear a song that a like, what is it about that song that I love so much? And I feel like that's really helped me also carve this kind of modern but vintage type sound that I really just try to stick to, mm-hmm. You know, time and again.
Well, there's a writing process for everybody too. And do you go by titles? Because everybody writes differently. And obviously Nashville really pushes and hones in on being able to write quickly, because you do, like that's right. when you're going into a writing session, you know, you've got to make an impression when you're in there. What has been your focus when it comes to your surroundings, your personal experience, and how that's motivated you or inspired you in your own personal writing?
Yeah, I mean, I like to say that I always have a songwriting cap on. So mm-hmm. whenever I'm reading or living life, like I find that's an important one, making sure that I'm not just writing all the time, that I'm actually experiencing life, living life, having conversations, watching movies, reading. And I'm always kind of, you know, I've got my ears on. So if I hear something that I'm like, huh, that's interesting, mm-hmm. I always write it down. And I've got plenty of books and notes on my phone of just ideas or sentences or words that I think hold a story. And mm-hmm. so whenever I sit down to write, I kind of start there and I'll sit and go through my notes and say, well, this to me is something speaking to me here. I don't know what it is, but this is, I'm connecting with something with this, I'm connecting to this word or this phrase. And from there, I'll kind of explore it. What does that mean to me? What is that word or what is that phrase? Like, what story does that hold from my experience that I can connect to that line or to that title? So I always try to find that within the idea mm-hmm. as much as possible. And because I do love writing, not just for myself, for other artists, I do try to kind of cross over as well and say, okay, well, if that was, I could hear this song for this artist, like what would that sound like? Or what would, not necessarily what would they say, what would I say that could work for them, you know? So there is a little bit of that, but for the most part, like I find writing the songs that I connect to
mm-hmm.
are the ones that others will connect to. If I'm writing just, you know, out of the blue kind of songs, I find it's harder to pitch. It's harder to, you know, share. It's harder to connect with. And ultimately the ones that I do have some experience with are the ones that do well mm-hmm. over the other ones.
Well, you definitely connect, and that's that relatability, because you're speaking from your heart, your experience and that connection to your lyrics. And I love that simplicity. And it just brings you back to the basics where you're writing because it's something that you love to do. And the more that you relate to that, you're going to go for a very long time in this career.
Thank you.
And that's pretty
Thank you.
special to watch.
Yeah,
You,
I really appreciate that.
because you've been doing this and gone, and had all this experience both in Nashville and, writing at Berkeley, talk about what advice you would give a younger Brittany Cannell with all that you know
Ooh,
now.
that's a good question. I would say if I could speak to my younger self at 21, just getting ready to move to Nashville, I would tell her to just keep the spark alive. And anytime it's starting to go out, find what it was that got you the spark in the first place. And I feel like I would tell myself that because there were times where I would get discouraged with always having to work another job or, not being able to go to a certain show or getting just or just losing myself when I would walk out of a meeting crying because a publisher would tell me that, they didn't like the songs or whatnot. Like, just to not listen to any of it and just to keep going and to not lose that spark. And to also, tell her like this is what it is. And I mean that in the sense that like that is the journey. Like what I was in, all those experiences. And I try to tell myself that now too. Like this is what it looks like to be a songwriter. This is what it looks like to be an artist and enjoy it and just, hold on for the ride.
It's hard when you're an independent artist, at first,
It
because,
is.
but we've got some incredible, incredible, talented artists that have been doing this for a long time as independent artists here in Canada. We got so much talent that's coming out of this country. And when you look at that independence, that sometimes can be a really great avenue to go.
Yeah,
And not always
definitely.
searching for that label and, having people say, okay, yes, you fit us right now. Because the music industry is always changing. And I think the platform has changed a
Exactly.
lot. And
Oh, yeah.
yeah, and I think independent artists are really kind of sticking with that. It's great to have
Yeah.
a label come on board for certain projects and stuff. But I think, you're seeing a lot of artists that are really honing in and staying to who they want to be. And
100%. And
yeah.
at the end of the day, it comes down to the people. It comes down to fans. And as much as I've never had the experience of working with a label, and I'm sure there are some labels out there that I would really do a great partnership with. But at the end of the day, like it ultimately comes down to your fans. They're the ones that are listening to the music. They're the ones that are coming to the shows. They're the ones that are buying the albums and streaming. And I mean, you can be independent if you build your fans and you focus on that and connecting with people, and not worrying about the industry, just focusing on the love of the music, the love of the song, and finding those people that love it just as much.
Well, that's what I respect too when you're talking about the fans, is your relationship with them, because you do both French and English for them, making sure that everybody knows, that you have such gratitude, when it comes to the place and the opportunity that you have to follow this dream. And the fans see that.
100%.
That's what we all fell in love with when I saw you the first time. Because you're
Oh,
so
thank you.
sincere. You're just a special artist. You really are. I don't know how else to say it. Just that.
Oh, thank you. It's important for me too to like really, also represent where I'm from, and where I'm from is a French province, and I know that majority of the fans here are French speaking, and I think actually when I moved back after Nashville, my French was horrible. Like it was rough, and I would, but I would.
We're going to take a short break when we come back, more with my very special guest, country singer-songwriter Brittany Cannell, here on Music's Journey. We are back. I am Kim Sear, and you are listening to the Music's Journey show, and I am chatting with my very special guest, country singer-songwriter Brittany Cannell.
Interviews, and I'd push myself to speak it at shows, and it's gotten a lot better in the last 4 years of just practicing. But I know how much it means to French fans for me to be able to speak to them in their language, and And it's important to me too to connect to them and have their support, and because of that, it's honestly, it's created a really nice community here with French and English artists, French and English fans. Like, it's been a really nice just bridge to connecting with each other.
Are the French Canadians going to see Brittany do a French country song?
Ooh, they might.
Ooh. They,
yes, I can't say any more than that.
Nice. Oh, won't that be amazing? That would be so cool.
I definitely would love to just, I can't say any more than that, but it's important for me to absolutely do a little something like that.
Very cool. I am so excited to hear that. Very cool. Okay. Well, let's go to, we're going to talk about your debut album because we're going to play a couple songs from there. And then we're going to go into the new single.
Awesome.
And then we'll talk about what you've got coming up for your sophomore album. Talk to us about your debut album. So I Ain't a Saint was released in 2021. We're going to talk about the first single. And the one that I guess really solidified your spot in the country music, and that was Eat, Drink, Remarry. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, that was it was funny because I had written it a long time ago, and I had written it actually at a time when I was engaged. And so and then that engagement broke off, and that's ultimately what led me to move back home. And you know, I kind of took a year off music, and then I connected with my manager and this and my producer for this album, and we ended up doing a lot of this album actually over Zoom just because it was pretty much mid-pandemic. But we had recorded that one song just before, and I think we released it a couple of weeks before. And so the song, it was funny because I just had it, and I think I shared it to a friend, and then they loved it. And so I was like, okay, maybe I'll send it to my manager. I send it to her, and she was like, I love this. And then I kind of laughed because I was like, well, I feel like I can, even though I wrote this, it was almost like a foreshadow. Like, I wrote this at a time when I didn't know that that's what my potential situation was going to be. Yeah. And so, it just made me laugh, and I realized I connected it to it on a whole other level, and that I wanted to speak to those people that have been through, you know, serious relationships, and it ultimately didn't work out, and it's okay because you'll just end up meeting somebody else. You don't know when or how or what, but at some point there's, you know, life does move on, and you know, it's also too short to be sad about you know, those situations, and that it's okay to meet another love in your life. And so in a way it was a very interesting foreshadow of a song, but it also closed that chapter for me and opened up a new one. And it kind of opened up the, you know, the creation of I Ain't a Saint as well, because I felt like, because that song kind of had that kitschy kind of side to it lyrically, that I really wanted to focus my emotions on that part of a breakup. Like, I understand that there are moments, and there's a chapter where you are kind of grieving the relationship, grieving the loss of a friend, and but at the same time, there's, you know, the flip side where there's kind of a happy part of the breakup too, and you realize, oh, I'm gonna be okay, I'm gonna meet somebody else, and I'm gonna, you know, I don't know, that I guess that moment when the sun kind of rises again out of a breakup. And I felt like this was what I wanted to focus the album on.
Very cool. Because it takes you through all the different stages, and that's a part of life. It's a part of our journey, whether or not it's in relationships or careers, or we might not see it in the moment. And, you know, we're devastated at what's going on, but so many people get stuck instead of saying, okay, this is what I got to deal with right now. This is where I am. And yes, it hurts because, you know, I don't think, like, at least for me anyway, I don't get into a relationship unless I'm 100% in.
Right.
And I put everything into that. So when you step away from something like that, there's a lot, you know, that you're feeling with that. But then you grow. And you look and see what
it's
you want. And
And those decisions are really tough to make.
They are.
They're tough to, like, you know, but I think what I wanted to share too is, like, this uplifting, upbeat breakup album to tell people to just keep going and to keep, to keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. There's more out there.
Definitely. And you just never know what you thought was really great. And then you turn the corner and it's just like so much you were missing in that relationship that you don't even realize, right? So that's what's so cool about 100%. This one. Yeah. We're going to play this.
Hindsight is 2020.
That's right. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Eat, Drink, Remarry by country artist Brittany Cannell here on Music's Journey.
Here comes the bride, still wearing white. I say it's cliche when it ain't your first trip down the aisle. You know he's cheated, you know she's lied. Oh, holy matrimony, we all deserve a second try. True love comes more than once and it ain't nobody's business. And the only one, it's your only one, don't need no one's forgiveness. Hey, all our things just end up buried in sin. We're gonna eat, drink, and remarry. What happens on the honeymoon stays on the honeymoon. Pretty soon it'll be over you and you'll go find somebody new. He'll take the dogs on, he'll take the house. Oh, holy alimony if it don't work out. True love comes more than once and it ain't nobody's business. Just end up buried and since it's only temporary, we're gonna eat, drink, and remarry. If you gotta force it, it's called divorcing. The new tradition is called rehitching. Cause true love comes more than once and it ain't nobody's business. And the only one ain't your only one, don't need no one's forgiveness. Yeah, cause true love comes more than once and it ain't nobody's business. And the only one ain't your only one, don't need no one's forgiveness. Yeah, all our things just end up buried. And since it's only temporary, forever ain't always necessary. It ain't out of the ordinary to eat, drink, remarry. Yeah, we're gonna eat, drink, and remarry.
That was the first single, Eat, Drink, Remarry, by country artist Brittany Cannell off her debut album, I Ain't a Saint, released in 2021. What a great song. I can relate to this one. I understand the story very well.
Thank you.
Yeah, we all can at some point.
So many people can, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Very well done. What was the very first, like, because when you're looking at a project like this, and after all the hard work that you've done in honing the career, what, for you as a songwriter, is there a song that stands out that really connected with you throughout your musical journey in your life that you decided, okay, you know what, I want to be a writer. I want to pursue this myself. Was there a song like that that really impacted you?
Ooh, that's a good question. And is it one that I wrote or?
It could be one that you wrote, but I'm, you know, there's like, I know for me, there's just certain artists as I was growing up that I could sit there and think, you know what, every single one that they would release just spoke to me because they, I don't know, I just connected with that artist and connected with the lyrics, the kind of lyrics that they wrote.
I will say, as soon as you said that, I knew who I was going to answer. But for me, it's Bruce Springsteen. And I just...
Ooh, see, that was mine too.
Yeah. I love him and I love his career path. And mm-hmm. I love how much, you know, his message matters in his songs and how much his fans matter. And
spoke to the people.
The longevity of his career. Yeah. And yeah, he speaks to the people through his music. And to me, that's something that I've tried to emanate, and I feel like, you know, he is kind of my mentor when it comes to my career.
Very cool.
It's very much always, what would Bruce do, or what, you know, and he's always stuck true to himself, and I've seen documentaries of him just flipping through his songs. Mm-hmm.
He's got such a huge catalog.
Oh, huge catalog. And yeah. I'm like, I want that. Like, I just want to have a massive catalog. By the time I'm like, you know, his age at 73, like, I want to be still playing music and I want to have a massive catalog of songs that I've written. And so,
legacy.
Yeah, I would say he's, yeah, I think he's just fantastic in every way, and I'm a big fan.
And he stood out too on his own, because a lot of people used to say that he didn't really have a great voice. And
yeah,
you would hear that all the time. But the thing was, is that when he delivered the songs, you don't have to have, you know, one of those voices that can hit every note. You know, he just delivered and it was believable. And he touched so many people. It's one of the first, well, I think about the third concert I went to, and I never heard of him before. And I remember, because I used to love Genesis and I used to love, you know, Supertramp,
yeah,
and, you know, so many different types of music. And the Eagles was a big one for me too.
Oh, I love the Eagles. Yeah.
And I remember going,
yeah, I love them.
Yeah. Like, I remember going to see Phil Collins, and then going to see Eric Clapton. And then I went to see Bruce Springsteen with a friend of mine. And it was like, wow, I never even heard of this guy. And when I started listening to his music, I had to listen to the first song on the album right to the end. I couldn't miss. And I would know all the words.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, oh,
I think
so good.
I think most people don't get it until they go see him live.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
big
then
difference.
They get it. And it's like, oh, yeah. He just, the way, like you said, the way he delivers the message and the way he connects with people. And I mean, I've seen him 5 times, and I'm going to see him a sixth time this fall. And I'm a big fan
here.
And I love Bruce, and I just love the way he connects to people, and that's something I always keep in mind when I'm writing or performing.
Well, you and I just might see each other at one of the concerts.
Yes.
Wouldn't that
be
cool?
100%. I'm in. If you're going,
I'm there, girl. I'll go with you. Not a problem. All right, let's talk about your second single, because You Don't Get Me Stoned. That was a really unique little twist on that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about writing that one.
I wrote that in Nashville with my friend Nathan Meckel, and I believe he had the title that he had. And to me, I just loved the concept of being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my album, that theme is weaved through a lot of those songs, of just being honest in life and in love and with yourself, most importantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I struggled with. And I'm somebody who's a little bit of a people pleaser, and somebody who's a little bit, you know, shy to say how I'm really feeling.
You and I are so similar. It's not funny.
Oh, it's tough to do. It's tough to, like, you know, I always want to make sure I don't hurt somebody else first before, you know, thinking of myself. So that song, I really tried to dive into those emotions of, you know what, I'm just going to say it like it is and get on with it, because I'm wasting my own time by not being upfront and honest with how I'm feeling. So that song is kind of what I really wanted to embody lyrically.
I am so glad. I told you, I related to you the moment I saw you on stage. And I think because I'm so similar, and I know what I do for a living here, I'm not an extrovert. I'm the opposite. I just know how to connect to people, and I know how to be able to hear what they're actually saying. I'm not just doing the interview. I like to dig into their life and be able to bring out the best so that fans get to actually see you. And it's not just
I really
the music.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. And that's why I connect to you, because you and I are just old souls. We really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that.
Well, we're going to play this one right now. Here is You Don't Get Me Stoned by country artist Brittany Cannell here on Music's Journey.
Just like that, we did like a match. I was flying like an eagle. Gave me that rush, the sweetest buzz. Should have been illegal. What goes up must come down. I took a hit, then put you out. You were only recreational. Oh, blunt, but hey, so what? At least I'm being honest. I know it burns, but you don't turn me on the way I want. No Mary Jane who sits and waits. You're just a spark and I need a flame. I ain't afraid to give it to you straight. Hey, you don't get me slow like you used to do. Hey, you don't get me high like you did before. It's over and I'm sober, not even that hungover. Why roll it up if I'm just blowing smoke? Hey, you don't get me slow. Hey, yeah,
that was another empowering song, You Don't Get Me Stoned, by my very special guest, country artist Brittany Cannell, off her debut album, I Ain't a Saint. And that was released back in 2021. Such a great album. After you released this, you became the semifinalist for Sirius XM 2020. Yeah. It was before that, wasn't it?
It was. It was 2020, but then with the pandemic it was extended a year.
That's right. That's why, because so I thought it was after the album.
Tell us about
being a part of that.
Oh, it was fantastic. I loved having their support, and just especially because we were in pandemic, like it was nice to have these little challenges, like, okay, we're gonna ask you to film this today and do this today, and it just felt like, you know, we still had things going on when everything was shut down. So it was really a great program to have during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved getting to just meet some of the other artists and connect with them, and also just to kind of share my story a little bit on a wider spectrum. So it was a really, really fantastic program that I got to be part of.
Very cool. I just know that during the pandemic is just like so difficult. You're building all that momentum with The Voice, and then the debut album. It's like so difficult, you know, during that time for anybody to navigate and even to record, right? Like, insane. Co-writes.
Yeah, it was tough. And I was living on my own, and it was in a very, very small apartment. And it was a tough time, but having, you know, just those little wins really helped to keep things going.
Really?
And that
nice.
Was definitely a win for us.
Very cool. Well, let's just fast forward a little bit. August 14th, 2021. Yeah. Pretty special date, Grand Ole Opry. An historical moment for the first female Canadian country artist to perform at the Grand Ole Opry. Very
no pressure.
Cool. None at all.
No, it was amazing. And to be honest, that was actually the first audience that I had since 2020.
Oh, wow. Theater. Well, yeah, I guess so, right?
So, yeah, because there still weren't any shows. We had done like some online virtual, but that was the first time walking out and seeing a crowd in almost over a year. So it was it was jarring, but at the same time it was like so magical. And I'd been to the Opry a couple of times before that. I'd been backstage, so I'd been there, but I was always like, oh, I want to be on that stage, I want to sing. And so getting that opportunity, and my friend Ryan Kinder, was his night he was singing at the Opry, and he had texted me on the Tuesday.
You went on the Saturday or something, right?
And I went on the Saturday. It was wild. I was like, and it was just like, how are we doing this? I don't know. But I remember getting the text message while driving. I pulled over at the next exit, and I just messaged my manager, and I was just like, we got to do this. I don't know how, but we need to figure out. I need to be on that stage. And so we made it happen. We were there for like, I don't know, 48 hours, spent a fortune in COVID tests, and we just made it happen. And it was an unreal experience. And I cannot wait. I really hope to get to do that again.
Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. Yeah, but you're going to be doing it for you.
Yes, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to, it was a really nice taste of just that feeling, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to do this with my own tunes one day.
Well, we're going to manifest that one, because I know it's going to happen.
Yes.
And every time I've said that, it happens. So
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to happen 100%. And I'm hoping I'm going to be there to be able to watch that moment. That's going to be such a cool thing. Yeah, me too. I want to see this because you are so darn talented, and I just don't think you realize how good your voice is. You have idea how special you really are as an artist in both ways, because it's one thing to be a songwriter, and then, you know, it's another thing to be a singer-songwriter. But when you can marry those two together like you can, and I think that just sitting there playing your guitar in an acoustic venue, you would captivate anybody, anyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're just really, really good.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Pretty intimidating as it can be. let's talk about the new single, because this one is a very simplistic song, and I think that's what I like about it the most, because it's just a very clear message that all of us frustrated women have gone through at some point in time.
Yes, exactly.
It's like, come on, do I need to answer this question every wedding or something that's happened, right? Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
It is. It really is.
And I was going through a period where I was single, and I was going to my friends' weddings and hanging out with my friends and their babies and their families. And it was just always like, well, have you met anybody yet? And do you think you'll get married? And do you think you'll have kids? And like, I just was so aggravating. I was like, you know what? If I don't meet my person, I am so happy with a house and a dog, and that's more than fine with me. And I really wanted to share that message of just of learning to be completely content with who you are, where you are in life, that there's no, you know, timeline that you have to follow, that you can chase dreams and you can do other things, but that's not just because you turn 30, you don't have to go and get married and have kids right away. So it was really important, and I wanted to do it in a fun, kitschy way. And there's nothing better than bringing a dog into a country song. So
it's cheeky. That's what I like about it. It's cheeky. It's got a lot of cheek in there. So that was pretty cool.
Sass.
It does. You got to have sass. You definitely do. See, I told you. I just know exactly who you are. I really do.
I know. I feel like I've known you for a long time.
Well, there's also us women too that do have dogs, and, you know, might be in a relationship, but then we look to our dogs.
Yeah, exactly. I've gotten a lot of messages like
partner. Yeah.
They are.
They don't talk back. They don't, they're not a hassle. You know, they just give you unconditional love without
unconditional love.
Always. Same as horses. Horses too. Yeah.
Yes, horses too. Mm-hmm. They're just a little more expensive.
Yeah, they are. That's an expensive hobby to have. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. We're going to play this one right now. Here's the new single, House and a Dog, by country singer-songwriter Brittany Cannell, here on Music's Journey.
Getting pretty tired. Got a plan yet? Do you got a man yet? When you gonna get married? Something borrowed, something blue. Yeah, I say I do. And I sign the papers to a house that I can call my own. I'll get a man, best friend, waiting for me at home. I ain't in a hurry just because I'm 30 to saddle up and settle down. It's gonna be a house and a dog for now. Well, all my friends with kids keep and a dog for now.
That is the new single, House and a Dog, by my very special guest, country artist Brittany Cannell. Another empowering message by this incredible artist. You can download House and a Dog on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and share it. Don't forget, there's so many people out there that might not have heard this song before, so don't forget to share it on your playlist. You can also request it at your favorite local country radio station. Such a cool song. It is so catchy.
Oh, thank you so much.
Really, really catchy. And I just love it. It's just one that, you know, you can just be belting out and having a great time.
Oh, thank you. I mean, and that's what I wanted to bring with that song. I was like, I just want to have some fun and bring color, which we did a lot in the little music video kind of clips that we did. And I just wanted to, again, like, upbeat, positive, and especially after the last couple of years that we've had, like, all I wanted to do was have fun and bring some fun to some music.
Are you on TikTok?
Yes, but I'm not the best at it, but I am on there.
Okay, so have you done anything with the song yet?
We've done a couple of, like, videos on there.
But with this particular one?
There was one where I was singing to my manager's dog, and that seemed to do pretty well. So I've been doing some singing to dogs on there.
Very cool, because you should get the fans. Just put a tweet up there and say, I want to hear you singing this song to your dog. Show me your dog, because this is what the whole song's about, right? Yeah. It is. Yeah. So just, like, put a contest out there.
I love that. We did recently, not on TikTok, but on Instagram, we went and visited a shelter here.
Oh, nice.
We did a campaign where we did, for every share that we get of you sharing our song with your dog, we'll donate $1 to the shelter. So we did a campaign similar to, and it did really well. It was really fun to see everybody's dogs. And it's definitely been a fun campaign for that reason, just because so much we could do with it. Yeah.
Well, and in House and a Dog, we could, I got so many ideas, I could just tell you. Yeah. We could do so much.
We'll have no idea. Yeah. Thank you. We'll have to do another call.
Yeah, we will. We'll do it when we're not on air. We'll just brainstorm. But I've already got like 10 that would be surefire hits for you without any problem at all. I love this song. Really great choice for coming out with this one this year. So well done. Very well done.
Thank you.
Now, we talked about the people that you've written with. Now, talk about building that reputation and being recognized. I don't know if it's absorbed with you yet. Being recognized with your peers and this industry on both sides of the border. Has it sunk into you yet on how well you have done for yourself and your accomplishments?
No, I don't totally think about those things, I guess, only because I feel like I'm just still got my head down and I'm still working. And so
we'll remind you.
Thank you. I'm so shy about those things that
I know, me too.
You know, I definitely want my peers to know that I respect what they're doing. I know how important it is to grow together. And so I really try to make sure that as much as possible that I'm showing my support for other artists and other writers, and you know, and I know my time will come, and I know each of our times will come when you know, things are doing better. But I've learned too that, like, there's peaks and valleys, and so I
always
think just kind of supporting people on their peaks, but also supporting them on their valleys, and just, you know, holding that reputation, and, you know, I guess I just want my peers to know that I support what they're doing because, you know, I'm in it too and we're all in it together kind of thing.
God love you. You're just such a wonderful, uplifting spirit. And you always are. You did Manny Blues.
You worked
with him too, didn't you?
I worked with Manny. Yes. So, and the funny thing is that was another pandemic kind of song. And so he had sent it to me from Nashville and I recorded it by myself in my apartment. And then I sent it back to him and that song was born and, you know, very grateful for that song.
I love Manny Blue. Cool he's so talented. Nice. So talented.
Yeah, he is.
Talk to us about this upcoming new sophomore album. Is it coming out this year, right?
It is, yeah. So it'll be out this summer. I'm super excited about it. And this album is a really cool production because I did part of it in Nashville and part of it in Montreal. It's a little bit of both of me, which I really, really am excited to share. And the songs are really about just empowering again. And the last one was more about being honest, and this one is really about just empowering each other, empowering women, and really reflecting on the chapter that I'm at in my life. You know, we're having it in my 30s. So I would say it's my 30s album.
Your 30s album. Well, you know what? That's when you're kicking some butt, right? That's what you're doing.
Yes. You know what? And the 30s are great because I feel like you really, like, you finally get to know who you are and you get to kind of own that and empower others with that. So I feel like the album has a lot about that.
I'm past you, but I remember that. I remember my 30s very 30s well.
30s are fun. Yeah, they're fun. I love the 30s.
They're pretty darn good.
Yeah, I feel like it's all upwards from here.
It is.
For the most part.
You know what? And what I love about your journey, and I cannot wait to hear the new music. And it's the album's called Pink Collar, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you sharing any more of singles coming out prior to, like, album cuts or?
Yes. So we will have another single coming out very soon. Mm. It's not announced yet, but very, very soon we have another single coming out. And we'll have that one going and then post that. It'll be just the album and then we'll put another single out probably this fall.
You're going to have to
Yes, I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Yeah, we have to have you back because there is not one single that's going to be going out there without me making sure it goes nationwide. So you're going to be dealing with that.
Thank you. I love that. Thank you.
You know what? Every single time, I am just such a fan, and I just think that you're just going to do such incredible things in this industry, and we need those empowering messages. And same thing as the Heels and so many of the great talent that we have here for women in Canada. It's just incredible what you guys are doing.
We have some there's amazing talent in Canada, and I'm grateful to just be a little part of the growing community and getting to support country music through song. So just grateful to be here and grateful for people like you that are supporting it. So thank you very much for that. And hello to all the international listeners. I really appreciate you guys listening in too.
Now you've got some big stages that you've already played on. We talked about the Grand Ole Opry, but you've also played on Boots and Hearts. You've played the Calgary Stampede. Yes. And now, I don't know if you've been there before, but you are also going to be playing Cavendish Beach Music Festival.
I'm very excited about that.
Very excited. Cool.
I've never been.
Oh, no way. Oh,
I've never been to PEI and excited to bring my band there and grateful. I mean, I've been lucky to have a lot of shows within Quebec, and each summer I try to say, okay, let's try to get one or two outside of Quebec and get some festivals in other provinces. And so we lucked out and we got Cavendish, and I couldn't be happier to get to go over there and play some music.
You are going to be so surprised. I keep saying this because there was a bunch of them that were coming on last year that, you know, they're big artists and they hadn't been there yet. And I kept saying to them, spend some time there. And it doesn't matter what the weather is. The people are so welcoming and they line up and there will be thousands and thousands in there. And you'll be shocked. And those are like just the beginning parts of the show. And like, this is long before, you know, the main acts come on the stage. They just love music and they are just so welcoming. Yeah, you're going to love it there. Really cool.
Can't wait for that and the oysters. It's going to be great.
Yes. It's just such a really unique island and very special. Very, very special place.
I'm very excited. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yes. Either that or I'm going to head out there. One or the other. I might be covering it this year. So we're going to see.
Oh, there we go.
I might see you. And then I can do an interview live. So that would be much better than doing it this way. I'm used to doing it live. So that would be cool.
Oh, yes. We'll definitely have to meet you live.
Definitely. Now let's talk very quickly about your Americana sessions, because fans can also see that. Are you still doing those?
So that was a one-time thing that we did, but I don't doubt that we'll be doing, I'm sure, something else post second album in a similar regard. My band and I, basically, I think it had been a while since we'd gotten together, and so we kind of came up with rearranging some of the tunes and then recording and filming them to video and putting it out on Spotify. So it was a really cool experience, and it also just kind of got to showcase me in the more Americana and folk world, which I also really, really love. So as much as I'm a big, you know, country fan and artist, I also really love Americana. So it was kind of a really neat concept to just be able to share that with our listeners.
And so fans can hear that you said on Spotify, but they also can see that on YouTube as well, on your channel.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So they can watch it live on YouTube.
Okay. We also going to encourage fans to also go to your merch page, because you got some pretty cool sweatshirts right now.
Yes, we do. You know what? They're not up on the website just yet, but they should be up this
Instagram
week.
Instagram is where I saw them or something.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Instagram. Okay. Yeah. So people can purchase them by the end of this week on our site. And
I have to get one of those.
Really, really cute sweaters. I am obsessed. I've been wearing it almost every day.
Oh, because I saw it was like a rosy color one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
to
it.
They're awesome. Really, really happy with
them. Oh, I'll have to.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so we'll have to make sure that we're putting that on the article as well. And that way everybody can go take a peek and support you, because independent artists need that, right? So very cool.
We do. It definitely helps.
Okay. Well, congratulations on the new single. And we can't wait to have you back for the next one, as well as being so excited for the sophomore album that's coming up for Pink Collar. And congratulations on these shows that are coming up. You got a lot coming up in Quebec. So where's the best place for the fans to be able to go and see all your tour dates?
If they go to my website, brittanykennell.com/tour, they can find all our there. And like I said, we're all around Quebec and a little bit in close to Ontario, and then also Cavendish as well, which we spoke about. But lots of fun dates coming up and more to come too.
Perfect. We're looking forward to it. Thank you so much for taking some time. And
thank you so
and
much.
It's been such a pleasure.
Oh, and I look forward to meeting you in person, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. You take care. Have a great night, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, country singer-songwriter Brittany Kennell, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'm going to be interviewing rock band Nothing More, Madeline Merlot, rock band Harm and Ease, Tim Hicks, Faber Drive, Jake Hoot, winner of The Voice, is back with another special song. I've got The Heels, Devin Cooper, David James, Jason Benoit, Mike Whiteside, Billy Ruffle, New Moon Junction, Jade Eagleson, Runaway Angels, Anthony Tulo, Rock Icons Lighthouse for a special two-part series. I'm going to be talking to them about their career. It's going to be pretty cool. I've got Elise Saunders, David Boy Janes, Rock Icons The Stampeders for the third show for our Canadian rock series. I've got Griffin Palmer, Ty Wilson, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget, you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into the Music's Journey show, and have yourselves a wonderful evening. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
Picked you up 7:30, drove downtown. You looked perfect, and I thought, damn, trying to play it cool while I held your hand. Hotel rooftop reservation, we got lost in conversation. My girl, I was lost in you. After a bottle of wine or two, we left the car at the valet. We were too drunk to drive. Dancing in the dark on Broadway, underneath the night.
at your place. We left the car at the valet. We left the car at the valet.
The band was playing Neon Moon. I couldn't take my eyes off you. And I was moving in slow motion, but we both knew where.
Get out of here, making out like a movie scene. Back in the cab, like a limousine. We left the car at the valet. We were too drunk to drive. Dancing in the dark on Broadway, underneath the Nashville lights. Might have been a blur, but baby, I remember every moment. I woke up with my favorite headache the next day. At your place, we left the car at the valet. We left the car at the valet. At the bar where you kissed me,
between I love you and the whiskey,
there was something in the air that night. We were laughing in the morning light. We left the car at the valet. Too drunk to drive. Dancing in the dark on Broadway, underneath the Nashville lights.